Well, it seems that all roads lead to the US presidential election at the moment. Now, the former president of Timor-Leste, José Ramos Horta, is calling on all Nobel Peace Prize laureates to sign an open letter urging Americans to vote against Donald Trump. A Nobel Peace Prize recipient himself, Dr. Ramos Horta, is concerned that a Trump presidency would invoke instability and world disorder. He's currently in Australia to speak at Griffith University's Integrity 20 conference, which aims to find ethical and moral solutions to the greatest global challenges of our time. José Ramos Horta, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Thank you.
You're particularly concerned at Donald Trump's comments about migrants, Muslims and refugees, yet it's probably fair to say that some of those comments are the ones that appear to be striking a chord with many in middle America. How do you think America ended up at that situation?
Well, obviously, whether in the US or in England, in Germany, in Australia, and in many parts of the world, not only in the West, even in countries like India, China, there are always people, minority or not, who have certain views in relation to other people's beliefs, ethnicity, that are not consistent with what we, the rest of us, believe. It doesn't mean necessarily that we all have to be same, equal, but there are leaders who are responsible to educate, to inform, to shape society's views about humanity. And, you know, many years ago, 8 years ago, I was one of those people around the world who applauded the American electorate for having elected, first time ever in history, a black man to lead the greatest power in the world. So at the time, American electorate, American people showed extraordinary wisdom. Of course, there were those who voted against Barack Obama at the time, and there will be those who will vote for Donald Trump today. But I believe, once again, like 8 years ago, when they elected Barack Obama today, in the face of two candidates, common sense, wisdom, American traditional goodwill, feelings of liberalism, humanitarianism, majority will vote for Hillary Clinton.
We are seeing, you mentioned there, Brexit in the UK, you talked about in Australia, and of course we have the rise of One Nation Party again. campaigning on some of these same issues, but some of the supporters, it's pretty clear, are affected by economic disadvantage. They feel disenfranchised. They feel left out and unconsidered in economic decisions, in trade decisions, and generally by what they might call the political elite. That appears to be a bit of a global phenomenon. Now, you're calling on Nobel Peace Prize laureates to sign an open letter urging Americans to vote against Donald Trump. Do you think that those who are feeling a bit under siege, who are feeling like they need to sort of shut the borders and sort of protect themselves from change, how do you think they'll respond to some from outside their country telling them how to vote?
Well, United States is not Timor-Leste, is not a small country, whether we like it or not, is a superpower of the world. Whatever major decisions may be taken by the U.S. President or the U.S. Congress on any major issue, whether on climate change, on financial issues, we know from the 2008-2009 crisis, when the housing financial crisis happened in the U.S., it reverberated around the world until today. Its impact is still being felt. And that's why we, as citizens of the world, different countries, we are concerned. Because we, people like me, I know the U.S. very well, lived there many years, still go there every year, two, three, four, five times. I have the greatest respect for the U.S., and as a concerned citizen of the world, concerned about the security in the world, wouldn't want to see a president whose policies, whose views would exacerbate an already very complex, delicate world situation, whether in the Middle East, whether in Africa, and relations with Russia, China, India, etc. So a superpower has to behave as a superpower, and the superpowers are respected for the leadership, the way they lead, and not the way they coerce, they threaten. You know, people lead through persuasion, through example, through inspiration, and not through coercion and threats.
It's 19 minutes to nine. Our guest is the former president of Timor-Leste, José Ramos Horta. José Ramos Horta, last month Timor-Leste had a big win against Australia in this decade-long dispute over the oil and gas fields in the Timor Sea. The Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague agreed to take up this dispute, this maritime border dispute. How long do you expect this case to play out for, and are you confident that Timor-Leste will win?
First, a small important clarification. Yep. It was not the court of arbitration. It was the compulsory conciliation commission.
Okay,
that
sorry.
Was established under the law of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the commission was established by agreement of the two sides. The two sides shows their the members and by consensus. So Australia had its say about the members. They all accepted the commission. So it means that Australia acted in good faith, is acting in good faith, because once Australia entered into such a compulsory conciliation, it means that back in their mind in Canberra, they are prepared to accept any recommendation, conclusion from this maritime law, international law mechanism. It might take a while, but I believe that the mood so far seemed to be positive, encouraging, and at least on the Timorese side, there is much more positive expectation that there will be a positive conclusion, not in the immediate future, but maybe a year or 2 years from now, we will have a settlement of the maritime boundary to which Timor is entitled to, based on international law, and that means equidistance between two coastal states.
And what would that mean for your country?
Well, it could mean, you know, I'm not an oil and geologist expert, but from what I have read, there is abundance of oil and gas within the median line that would belong to Timor-Leste, because let's not to forget that there were at least three oil fields that would have been ours, but that Australia exploited till depletion, Buffalo, Labinaria, Coralina, that generate for Australia billions and billions of dollars. Mm. And Australia exploited that, and that would have been within our EEZ. So who knows, there might be other major fields within our EEZ that would belong entirely 100% to Timor-Leste.
Timor-Leste's economy remains heavily dependent on oil. It has the second highest dependency in the world, I think. It's been 17 years since your country gained its independence. Economic progress is slow, suggesting all this oil revenue isn't trickling down, certainly perhaps not to the rural regions where poverty is still entrenched. Is that the focus that your country needs to get to diversify its economy? And is that a danger to the stability of Timor-Leste?
Well, two things. First, a small clarification. It's been 14 years.
14, I beg your pardon, sorry.
Not 17 since the referendum, probably.
Yes.
14 since independence. Second, oil revenues didn't happen, didn't come right on independence. It began to pour in slowly in 2005, 2006. And then with the oil boom, oil price boom, we quickly generated for us some significant revenues. But Timor-Leste has been wise, and wiser than many, many countries in the world, in that we created a sovereign fund. Most of the revenues went to this sovereign fund that invested in U.S. Treasury bonds. The government, having access to this sovereign fund only through the parliamentary process, budget process, to finance what? Finance education, health, infrastructure, electricity, water and sanitation. If you came to Timor-Leste today, if you had been there in 1999, 2000, and you come today, you'd see dramatic difference. It's not that nothing has been done. No.
No.
A lot has been done in only, let's say, the last 10 years. Life expectancy, which in 10 years ago was around below 60, today close to 70. child and infant mortality reduced by half. Malaria almost eliminated. In my another 2-3 years, malaria will be history in Timor-Leste. In 2000, we have only 19 doctors. Today, we have close to 1,000 Timorese medical doctors. So a lot is still to be done. We have failed in some areas, but I have to say, and I don't take credit for it. I was not the prime minister. I was the foreign minister, so I don't have much to do with the economy. So I don't take credit, and I commend my colleagues who are in the government, the first government under Dr. Alkatiri, and then last 10 years under Xanana Guzmán, who have done a lot to improve the lives of our people.
José Ramos Horta, it's good to have you on the program again. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, and God bless you.
José Ramos Horta is a former president of Timor-Leste, and of course, he is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate.